Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his own sweet song. Wake up, wake up, you sleepy head, get up. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Sandgard in attendance, along with 2,000 fans, the New Valley Pass service looking excellent, and of course a 5-goal spree from the Addicts. Almost the perfect day, but we cannot forget the biggest achievement that we saw yesterday. Terry made it up to the East Stand gantry. Welcome to Charlton Live. Charlton Live. Charlton Live. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me on the pod this week to look back at a really excellent day at the Valley yesterday. First up, the man who did make it all the way to the top of the East End gantry, Terry Smith. Wow, how did you do that?
A couple of Sherpas and an iron lung come in handy, to be fair.
How you doing, Terry? You all right?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the pain lessens when we put in a performance like that. So the whole day was pretty much a full box-ticking exercise yesterday. It was great.
Yeah, it really was a great day yesterday. And also joining us to discuss that day, man who was at the Valley himself yesterday, Mr. Tom Wanning. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, I'm very happy, as you can imagine.
Yeah, oh yeah, Johnny Williams scoring in the flesh right in front of you. I'm surprised you didn't just combust there on the spot.
Nah, well, I knew I was coming on tonight's show, so I managed to hold it together just about.
Excellent stuff. So on tonight's show then, as I said, we'll be looking back at that 5-2 win over AFC Wimbledon. We'll be hearing the highlights from the brand new Valley Pass live service. We'll also hear the post-match interview that we did with Lee Bowyer. We'll have some clips from yesterday's Valley Pass live service. We'll hear Scott Minto talking to the owner, Thomas Sandgard, and of course to goal scorer Johnny Williams as well. We've got your tweets and emails to come. Maybe we'll have a quick look ahead to Tuesday's game with Bristol Rovers as well. But just before we hear the highlights then, Terry, 2-1 down at half time. I mean, Lee Bowyer said he told his side not to panic, but I was very much panicking after what's happened over the last few weeks. So that turnaround in the second half really was a sight for sore eyes, and it was quite an explosive performance in that second period.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you were the only one, by the way. I think that was replicated across the not just the 2,000 that were there, but the thousands that were watching as well, so, from home perhaps. It was you know, I didn't quite get the awful performance reports that I'm hearing in the first half. I think we were pretty rubbish for about a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes. But aside from that, I thought it was just our energy level dropped. We started, I thought, really quickly and on the front foot, and were good for the lead. And then just the energy level of certainly the midfield, whether or not they just didn't have the energy after about half an hour, I don't know. But it just seemed to fall off a bit. And the likes of Gilby and Madison, who'd been going back across the midfield and looking really positive, just seemed to flatten off a little bit. And I think that's what allowed Fulham back into the game. And then they took advantage of that. And we got sloppy for a quarter of an hour. And then we needed half time, I think. And then second half, the substitutions changed the game. Simple as that. I think everybody could see it. And Ike and Williams coming on just completely transformed us and gave us that high energy back. And then Wimbledon couldn't handle us.
Yeah, it really was an explosive second half performance, Tom. And of course, you'll want to pick up the fact that it was your man, Jolly Williams, who, well, you know, he's coming for a bit of criticism last week, didn't he, to put it lightly, and you know, to the extent that we were still talking about it on Thursday's show, and we talked about how we wanted to see a reaction from him, and that's exactly what we got.
Definitely. Yeah, as I said on Thursday, I would have loved to see Boya chuck him on from the start. He chose not to, but he was on the bench, and as soon as he came on, I think we'd seen a little bit on Friday, Rich Cawley had put out a piece where Boya had said there was no ill feeling between the two. And I'd said on Thursday's show that, you know, we couldn't suggest that there was any sort of falling out between them necessarily. And he's done it with players a few times, hasn't he? And Johnny replied in the best way possible. It was, you know, there was a lot of similarities out on that left-hand side to when he came on, I thought, at the Wembley game. You know, he seemed to be getting his foot on the ball a lot, out in wide areas, running at defenders with confidence. Got his goal deservedly so, could have got another. He was bursting into the penalty area two or three times. And yeah, both him and Chooks, when they came on, Wimbledon just couldn't handle them. But I echo what Tell said about the game as well. I think, you know, Tell said 15, 20 minutes. I would have said only 5 or 10 minutes, really, that we kind of let them get a grip over the game. But apart from that, I think we did everything Boya asked for. We were patient in our build-up. There was movement from the front two, which made a change. And when we got in front of goal, we took our chances, which is something we haven't seen enough of. So, yeah, apart from that last 5 minutes of the first half, just a really good day down at the Valley.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's relive it then. Let's listen to the highlights from the brand new Valley Pass live service. Your commentators, though, as always, were Terry Smith and first, Greg Stubbe.
Allows Pierce to bring it forward. Pierce, ball forward, looking for Washington.
Great ball.
It's a lovely ball. Washington gets behind Thomas, cuts inside onto his right foot, shooting opportunity. Washington goes for it!
What a goal!
Lovely goal by Connor Washington. But the assist from the captain, Jason Pierce, is good enough. Ball forward, finds Washington, cuts inside onto his right foot, and delivers an unstoppable effort past Truman to give Charlton the lead after 36 and a half minutes.
Well, the finish is outstanding. You can't take anything away from Connor Washington, but look where he's going now. Straight to the skipper, who slide rule pass, picked him out, but it wasn't the job done. He still had work to do. He had to turn inside his man, which he did superbly. Terrell Thomas on the cover. Washington just brought it back onto his right front and then curled an unstoppable effort into the left-hand corner of the net.
Now as Wimbledon play on, his ball's up to Piggott. He's allowed to turn. Piggott shooting opportunity. Goes for it. Oh, what a strike. Joe Piggott. Well, credit's due there. He cuts inside onto his right foot. And that's why he has scored so many goals this season for Wimbledon. Long ball forward. He's able to control and gets onto his right foot. Probably wasn't closed down quick enough by Pearce and delivers an outstanding effort past Ben Amos to equalise for the visitors.
Yeah, you've got to give credit where it's due. That's some strike from the ex-Charlton man.
Taking short to Rodini. Ball inside, finds McLaughlin. Ball forward looking for Hartigan. It's up in the air and Hartigan will go for goal. And luckily for Charlton, he gets that one slightly wrong, but comes out to Woodyard. Ball in the penalty area. It's a decent looking one. It's a free header and it's a goal. Charlton trying to claim for offside. Nothing given. Chalker with a header in the end.
Again, switching off, unfortunately. We watch Hartigan completely mess his attempted. I don't know if it was a shot at all. And the ball goes all the way out to Woodyard, who clips it back in. And Charlton guilty of not picking their men up. And a free header and an easy header for Chalker to put Wimbledon in the lead just before half-time.
Bears to take. Knocks it short to Hartigan. Ball in pound here, headed away by Martson. And there is the half-time whistle as the first 45 minutes come to an end here at the Valley. The scoreline, Charlton 1, Wimbledon 2. And Askey just waiting for a little bit of movement. Delivers towards the far post, towards Prattley, who's got a free header. Heads back inside, flicked on by Pearce. He's come back to Watson with a strike, and it's a save by Truman. Martson picks it back up. Ball to his right, finds Watson in a bit of space. He's got Gunter to the right, who he uses. Gunter takes it past his man. Lovely first touch. Gunter to Pouncier. Chip ball back across. It's headed away by Thomas. Then by Woodyard. Comes to Watson. 1-2 with Madison. Now Anike to Pouncier. He turns. Anike goes to goal. Comes out to Foster Gasky! And Charlton have the equaliser. It's lovely football on this right-hand side. Found Chucks Anike to Pouncier. His shot was saved by Truman by his legs. Comes out to Foster Gasky, who makes it Charlton 2, Wimbledon 2.
Yeah, and that's great football from Charlton on this near side. Kept the ball alive. Lovely 1-2 between Watson and Madison. Anike with a superb dummy, you'd call it. I don't know. Just let the ball ride piece beyond him and the defender. Defender didn't know which way to go. The ball across the goal and Foster Kasky on hand to put it away.
Yeah, Foster Kasky's second of the season. Here's Charlton, the equaliser, and Wimbledon get the game back underway. Headed away by Prattley. Can Charlton, who've played well this second half, and a little bit more urgency, can they go on and get a third? Here's Charlton over with Martson. Backwards to Watson.
I think that's important as well, because getting a goal when you have been on top is important, because if you let time go.
As Madison finds Gunter, he's got the ball in the pounds here. Ball comes to Williams!
Oh, yeah!
Johnny Williams! That's the reaction John were looking for. Lovely football again. Chris Gunter on the right-hand side. Lovely ball inside. And that man, Williams, gets his second goal for the club.
Well, I think we all know how well that's going to be received. And again, great work from Charlton. I was just about to say, scoring when you're on top is important. It goes too long at 2-1 when you've been on top. Nerves start to kick in. Well, that's not going to happen now. The Welsh wizard on hand to bury the chance. And once again, Gunter on this right-hand side, part of the catalyst for the goal. And Johnny Williams, look at the delight on his face.
Comes off Piggott and finds Williams. It's a little dink ball looking for the run of Washington. Little nudge into the back of Nightingale, and he's got away with it. As Washington retrieves the ball on the far side. He's got Martson behind him. Purrington there also. Little flick on, but Williams trying to find Anike, and he might pick this up. Chucks Anike. Can he get a shot away? He does.
Yes!
And it's in!
Come on!
Chucks Anike has buried Charlton's fourth. Slightly fortuitous with the bounce, possibly. But super work from Charlton to keep the ball alive. And we've got daylight here at the Valley.
Well, it's not the prettiest goal he'll ever score, but it's certainly an important one.
Control from Purrington, skips past his man to the corner of the penalty area, into the penalty area now. A little touch to Martson. Can he get the ball across? Oh, it just gets blocked away. Might have another go at it, though. Ball back towards Williams. Purrington's there. Williams there! Oh, off the post,
yes!
Of Purrington on the finish. Wins the game for Charlton. And quite incredibly, in the discussions running up to this game, we said we didn't see Charlton having a five-goal win in them. Well, that's been put to bed.
Well, superb work from Ian Martson. He does superbly well. Stay on his feet, get the ball back in the pounds here. Williams with a lovely touch, and it looks like Williams has got his second of the game. And it hits the post, and then Perrington's just there against his former team just to make a little bit of a nuisance of himself. The ball deflects in off of him. Easiest goal he'll ever score.
Need a seven. But that's all we have time for here at the Valley. Quite outstanding second half performance from Charlton.
There we go. How good as well, isn't it, to hear a crowd cheering five Charlton goals? You know, that's the first time that the Charlton crowd have seen a win since February, since that game against Luton Town back in the Championship. And it does feel like a lifetime ago. And that 5 minutes or so that you get at full time when the fans and the players walking around the pitch clapping, and then we get the tunnel jump with Jason Pearce, and then obviously Johnny Williams did one as well. It really was a sight to behold yesterday at the Valley. We were talking about that game then, Terry. So we that first half, I thought, because Wimbledon didn't do what other teams had done to us recently and come out and press us, we were certainly more comfortable in the ball, and we created a few openings, obviously got the goal. And then what happened in that 5 minute spell before half time, considering what's gone on over the last few weeks and everyone being a little bit edgy, and we even heard a couple of boos at half time. I mean, that half time team talk from Lee Bowyer was absolutely massive, because me and Tom said on Thursday's show, we can't get stuck in a little rut, and having been comfortable and led and then had this horror show of a 5 minutes where we conceded one excellent goal from Joe Piggott and then one very sloppy goal from our point of view. You know, what happened after that was massive, and for Lee Bowyer to get the tune out of his players that he did in that second period, I mean, I don't think we can underestimate how big that will be for us going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'd be interested to know just how that team talk at halftime panned out, because I think likely, well, I don't know, of course, but I'm guessing that he's given a few of the players, right, you ended that half sloppy, your energy level's dropped. Because up to that point, Wimbledon couldn't live with us. You're right about the press. Wimbledon, I was worried going into the game, Wimbledon play a five-man midfield, and that's what we've struggled against in recent weeks, when opposition have the five-man midfield and they press us high and we can't get past it. So we end up lumping balls up and it doesn't suit us. Yesterday, we didn't allow Wimbledon to do that, whether that's because they made a mistake or we just were better. They ended up having a back five rather than a midfield five. And so that allowed us the freedom in midfield, certainly allowed Maddison and Gilby to operate across that middle. And Bo said before the game that Maddison would have a free role, and that was clear to see. But just towards the end of that game, end of the first half, the energy level started to drop. I mean, we got the goal, and what a goal it was. And Piercy's slider or ball that picked out Washington. The shot took a deflection, but it was still a peach. And Tom may be right. It just seemed like a bit longer. It might have only been the 5 minutes. I don't know. But because we could have been an extra goal down as well, by the way. Could have been another one, not just the two, because we just switched off, because suddenly they had time and space in midfield that we hadn't been giving them up to that point. And I think the halftime team talk possibly was, right, you got 5 minutes into the second half or however long it was, and if I don't see too much of a change, I'm going to make a change. And although we started stronger, I think, than we ended the first half, it was clear that there was still something not quite right. And he made the change. Johnny Williams came on, was his absolute best. And Chuck Sanike is just a better player, better player up top, sadly, than Omar Bogut. It's just a fact. He just adds something different. I'm not saying Omar's not a good player by any stretch, but just Chuck's just adds something different, and that was clear.
Yeah, that's certainly the kind way of saying that he is the better player. But that's the fact, isn't it? And it makes such a big difference for us. It's interesting as well, Tao, actually, what you said about it'd be interesting to hear what Bo said, because I did ask him what his message was at halftime based on that. And his was don't panic, because other than that, well, yeah, I would tend to agree. It probably was more than the 5 minutes. It was the 10 minutes, because they'd had a couple of chances in that time. We had been fairly comfortable, and then started the second half probably on the same foot, or perhaps even stronger, Tom. And by the time we got that equaliser for Jake Forster-Caskey, it certainly felt like we'd been building up to something. But I mean, no one saw that two goals in 65 seconds coming. I put on Twitter yesterday, it's so long since we've done something like that, to go from trailing to ahead. It was extremely exciting, and what a way to wrap it up as well, with Johnny Williams getting his first goal at the Valley, and to do it in front of his adoring Tom Wallin.
yeah. I think look, in that first half, I think we were patient, and Bowyer had called for it before the game. And like I say, there was movement up top, but we weren't just lumping it long. As Tel says, we did try and pass through the lines the majority of the time. And I put on Twitter that when we got our goal, I thought it was thoroughly deserved. And there were a few people around me who were getting frustrated with how slow we were. And I admit that there were periods where we were a little bit slow, but for me, it was just being patient, and we weren't rushing into sloppy mistakes. And then, as you say, we have that period of time where we fall two goals behind. And for me, it just came out of the blue. And you could see, given the run we've been on and the games we've lost recently, that we could have folded at that point. Could have got on the back of people like Maddison, who I thought had an excellent game yesterday. But, he's not necessarily in the side to be doing the chasing back, and people could have turned on him. But they came out for that second half. I thought the crowd were behind the team. And I think Tell's spot on that. Bowyer gave them a chance at that point and said, right, prove yourselves. And when it wasn't working, and I agree, Bogle just started to fall out of the game a little bit in that opening 10 minutes of the second half. And I think he'd maybe done it towards the end of the first half as well. And Chucks came on, and Johnny said it himself on his interview on Valley Pass. Everything sticks to Chucks, and you know it's going to. So you can be around him and wait for the ball to drop. And yeah, it was. It just had the feeling that we were going to get back into the game. It was one of those. So when we scored the equaliser, I wasn't surprised. And then I don't know if it was the crowd being there or the atmosphere or what, but it just suddenly felt like Wimbledon couldn't handle us anymore. As soon as that goal went in, and I certainly didn't expect us to score the next goal as quickly as we did, but it just felt a bit more like, right, we have been patient, we haven't panicked, we're in control of this game now. Even though it was only 2-2 and we weren't still ahead, it was like we're in control. And then when the ball broke down the right-hand side for the second time and it came in, and like I say, reminiscent of that goal he scored at Portsmouth, bursting into the edge of the area. And rather than taking out everything from about 2 yards out, he was obviously a little bit further, and it was a great finish. And yeah, I haven't celebrated a goal like that, I don't think, since Wembley. It was just a magical moment, obviously, personally, for me, because I love him so much as a player. But also, you know, for the fans, you know, we've been waiting for that. And given what happened last week, for Johnny, it must have just been amazing because, as Boya said, you know, he went, did everything that Boya could have asked of him yesterday and repaid him in the best way possible.
Yeah, I mean, considering, Terry, the amount of stick that Bo was getting during the week for his comments about Johnny Williams last week, I mean, has he once again been vindicated? He's done this to Albie Morgan, who's improved massively. He's done this to Omar Bogle, who went on to score in his next game. Although, you know, he's, as we mentioned earlier, he's not the player that Chooks and EK is, but he certainly, you know, tried... Seem to do a bit more in the last couple of games. You know, has once again Boya been proved correct?
I have a slightly different take on it. I think anybody expecting Lee Boya to be anything else hasn't really followed Lee Boya much, I don't think, because he's an honest man and he'll tell you what he thinks. And he comes from a background and a bit old school where he doesn't expect people to take it too personally because he's just being honest. And so, when he said that Albie Morgan wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, when he said he wasn't tracking back enough, when he said he wasn't getting in the box enough to score goals, he was right. I mean, that some people saw that as saying, well, because he's saying Albie Morgan's no good and we're going to get rid of him. That's not what he was saying at all. And I think people maybe slightly overreacted a little bit. Yes, he said that Johnny Williams pulled out of a tackle because he did. There may have been reasons for it, but he still did it. Did Johnny Williams have the impact he wanted him to have for the last few games, not just the one in question? Probably not. And so he was proving a point. You can argue whether you agree with that point, but I don't think anybody can argue that he's just being honest. And I'm not even sure he necessarily did it to get a reaction. Do you see what I mean? I don't necessarily think he pulled Johnny Williams and said, right, that means I want you to be better next week. I don't think he's that type of person. I think it's just, right, it's not working. This is why it's not working. You're coming off, and you're coming off because you didn't do this. And so I expect that he expects everybody to be on point, playing their best every single week. And when they're not, he gets disappointed, just like fans do. So I don't necessarily think, and I hope anyway, look, everybody said that Johnny Williams is the type of player that needs an arm around his shoulder. And I get that because players are like, you know, some players are like that, some players aren't. I'm not sure Lee Boya necessarily knows that tack yet. I would guess it'll come because as he gets longer in the game as a manager, you would expect it to come. But all he demands is perfection, and when players don't live up to that that perfection, then he gets the ump and he tells them what he thinks.
Certainly does. Obviously, after we got those two goals that had us ahead, it was Chooks and EK's goal really that killed it off 5 minutes from time, Tom. And again, we've spoken about it already, really, but it just shows how important he is as a player for us. It's remarkable how all of his goals have come off the bench, and finally. One at home, though. It was a good joke they made on the EFL on Quest last night that he's finally lost the Chooks away tag because he scored a home goal. But all of them off the bench and, you know, showing the sort of finish that I've been expecting this form from him ever since he's joined us, and he's never really showed it until this season. But I'm so pleased with how he's taken to it this year.
Yeah, 100%. When he signed, I was delighted. I thought there was a real player in there. And as you say, injuries have curtailed that a little bit. And I said it on Thursday's show that there are some players that are just better off the bench. And if they are, then you accept that. It's not a bad thing at all. It's a lovely option to have. And so long as Chucks is happy with that and happy with the role he's playing, and if he's scoring goals, I think he is, then that's what we've got to do. As Tell says, it's just a shame at the moment that the Bogle from the start isn't quite having the impact we need from him. But having said that, I think he is doing a lot of things for the team. Yesterday wasn't his best game by any stretch, and he's not giving the impact that Chooks is, but he's still playing a role. And if nothing else, again, as Boya referenced a few weeks ago, he's tiring defenders out so that when Chooks comes on, he can take his chance. And his goal looked a little bit like that. You know, the centre-back got the ball mixed up between his feet, maybe because he was tired and had been concentrating hard all game, and the ball just fell to Chooks, and he still had a lot to do to get the turn and slot it away and take the chance. And you're right, I still thought we were on top, and obviously we were a goal ahead at that time, but as Charlton fans, and given what we've been through in recent weeks, particularly conceding late on last week, you do worry at the back of your mind that whilst it's only one goal, it only takes a one chance at the other end and they might take it. So we needed that fourth. It came late on, and it really knocked any stuffing out of Wimbledon and any chance they thought they had of getting back into it. And from that point on, you felt like you could relax a little bit. And obviously then Ben Perrington coming on and knocking that fifth one in was the icing on the cake. But
especially,
at that point, it was...
Especially considering what Nathan had texted us about 2 minutes before he scored that,
I mean, that made my day. Yeah, I think for anyone who's listening, Nathan is not the biggest fan of Ben Perrington. So when he took it round a player on the edge of the box and then steered it home, I was absolutely loving it. It would have been nice if he'd just cupped his ear specifically to Nath in the stands. But yeah, it was just a brilliant afternoon. And given what the MK Dons game had been like, not just from what Boya had said, but the atmosphere in general and the performance, it was just such a transformation. And that's what I've missed about the Valley more than anything, was a game like yesterday.
Yeah, it's such a happy place, and it's amazing. Like, funnily enough, actually, I did bump into Nathan in the little Sainsbury's at the top of Floyd Road yesterday, and that sort of brought it home to me. Even though I've spoken to Nathan obviously quite extensively and spoken to you guys, how good it is to actually see your friends in the flesh. I hope that was a really cathartic experience for a lot of people yesterday, not just seeing Nathan, but seeing everyone at the Valley. It's been touched upon by Tom already, but Marcus Madison again probably had a very good game for us yesterday, and Lee Boyer singled him out for praise, as we'll hear in the interview shortly. But you know, he's moulding him into the sort of player he wants him to be. Hopefully he'll continue along that path.
It's the same as the other players, and it's what I said just now. He recognised and probably said it to Madison to his face, you're not doing enough. Until you start doing enough, you won't play for me. And so this is what I expect. And I think yesterday it was helped by the fact that the Wimbledon midfield five sort of dropped off and allowed him the space to operate. But that may be down to the fact that we didn't allow them to push on us either. We played round them better than we had done before. That's certainly possible. I'd like to just hark back to what Tom said. Tom was absolutely right. And if you think about what Lee Bowe said before about patience, I'm guessing that he knows that the way Wimbledon would have set up. He also knows that Omar Bogle would probably have had, with him and Washington, had five defenders to deal with. And so it was never going to be... The way we finished was never going to be the way we started either. So we had to be patient, and that paid off, because, you know, Omar Bogle wouldn't have scored the goals, but as you mentioned before, as Tom mentioned, and you're absolutely right, he still occupies the centre halves. He still makes them hard work hard. It still puts the effort in, and they do tire as a result. So it is a team game, and it's a game over 90 minutes. So if the situation is that, all right, we want Omar Bogle on there to occupy opposition centre-halves for an hour, and then we'll bring on Chooks to actually finish him off, then I'm happy with that. As long as we get the result, it doesn't matter.
Excellent stuff.
Right, going back to one thing, you said about seeing people in the flesh back in the grounds, and you're right. But the one thing that was missing yesterday that I half expected, actually, was the sight of Tom Wallin in his Welsh onesie running onto the pitch trying to snog anybody remotely Welsh or anybody that had a trip on the Ferstiniog Railway at some point, because after that Williams goal, I was fully expecting it.
If it wasn't for COVID protocols, I'm sure he would have been right in the midst of it there yesterday on the pitch.
Next time.
Just before we hear from Lee Boyer, actually, I just want to talk about the table. So, Tom, obviously we're 2 points now off Lincoln in second. It's funny, isn't it? Because when we drew with Shrewsbury last weekend, it was the end of the world. But when Hull, top of the table, got beaten 1-0 at home to Shrewsbury, I don't think I saw anyone on Charlton Twitter mention it. We have to remember this league. It's not quite a championship in terms of unpredictability, but this league in this season, where teams have to chop and change and they have injuries and they have resting players and stuff, there's going to be results like that. There's going to be teams that have little runs like we've just had. And, you know, Hull beaten by Shrewsbury, I think, shows that. Lincoln getting smashed 4-0 at home by Sunderland, a Sunderland side who haven't been all that this season. Just shows it's all up for grabs still, isn't it?
Yeah, and the other thing is, because there are so many games being played in terms of week by week, you know, I know you play a lot in a normal season in these leagues, but particularly this year, that a week in League One at the moment, you can have two or three games. It can make a huge difference to the top of the table because it's so tight. So you're right, we go into and get a defeat last week against Shrewsbury and it's all doom and gloom. And a week later, we smash five past a Wimbledon side and the top two lose. I think Ipswich lost as well, didn't they? So, yeah, we have to, like yesterday's game, we have to be patient. The cream will rise to the top this season. And I think our squad is certainly one of the better squads in this league. It's going to take us time and we just have to be patient. The only time we need to be in the top two is the last weekend of the season. We just need to be part of the conversation between now and then. And we are going to lose some games, but everybody else has shown that they're fallible as well. So I don't think there's a runaway team. Hull probably the only ones you would have thought. And as you say, it's not like the point they're a million points ahead of anybody else. So, yeah, a week's a long time in League One. We've got to try not to get too low when we lose and not to get too high when we win. And Bowyer's very good at that. You know, I'm sure he enjoyed yesterday as much as we did, but it'll have got the players in the dressing room and then they'll have gone, right, we've got another game we need to concentrate on Tuesday and then we've got another trip away to Swindon next weekend. So the games are coming thick and fast. There isn't really much time to just sit and enjoy the wins. It's about making sure you focus, keep players fit as best you can and just take each game as it comes. And Bowie has always been very good at not looking too far ahead. And as fans, I think we need to maybe just try and do that as well, which is easier said than done for sure, particularly after a bad defeat.
Well, let's have a listen then to what the Addicts boss made of yesterday's 5-2 victory over AFC Wimbledon. He came to speak to us via Zoom after the game. I asked him what he made of the performance.
From start to finish, I thought we was very good, apart from a 5 minutes lack of concentration. I think we just dropped our level for 5 minutes at the end of the first half and they went bang, bang, and scored two goals from nowhere. I'd probably say the first 40 minutes was the most comfortable that I felt. So overall, I said to him at half time, like, look, just do what you're doing. There was no reason to panic. I believed that we would turn it around, and especially once we scored, then we'd go on and win the game. So I thought it was very good today. I think we had a bit of everything. We scored some good goals. Again, stuff that we'd worked on in the week. So that's two games on the spin now that we've been able to score goals from stuff that we're working on at the training ground. So it's really pleasing for us as coaches, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said about what you said to them at half time, because up until that probably 5-10 minutes before half time, whenever Wimbledon sort of came back into it, you looked really comfortable and you had the lead. But considering what has happened over the last few weeks, I guess there could have been a temptation to panic. So you must have been really pleased with how well they came out in that second period.
Yeah, and that's why it was all calm in the dressing room at half time. If you start ranting and raving because you're going to judge them on the last 5 minutes, then that negativity will then go into them. So there was no reason for that. Like we done well the first 40. So yeah, just stay positive and then have my positive energy or our positive energy as coaches will rub off on them, you know, and they know that a little lapse in concentration cost us, but they also know, they recognise that they was good for the first 40 of it. So, yeah, they could have gone the other way, but they didn't. They believe in themselves and they believe in everything that we try to do every day with them in the training pitch.
There's lots of great stories that have come out from today, but I guess Johnny Williams giving you exactly the answer I expect you wanted from last week and scoring a goal like that today must have been very pleasing.
Yeah, I think the most important thing for me, like, again, when I'm watching from the side, like we all have standards, you know? And like I've said before, maybe I try to ask too much of them at times. But that's my job. And I just said after the game there, like, to Johnny in the dressing room, like, to all the lads, like, my job is to push these players and improve them and make them better. And that's why I reacted the way I did last weekend. And Johnny, could fair play to Johnny. Like, there's two ways you can go when it happens. You can either go backwards or you can stay. Do you know what? I'm gonna step up and I'm gonna do the right things and I'm gonna give you the right reaction. And I spoke to Johnny on a couple of occasions last week and said, look, I just want the right reaction, and that's what he's done. Fair play to Johnny. There's no one that loves Johnny more than me, I can assure you. But I'm really pleased for him. I'm pleased for him. He's given us the right reaction. Getting in the box again, should have scored again when he hit the post. So he's getting in the box and he's making a difference. And so well done. Well done, Johnny Williams. I have to say well done to Madison as well. If any of you guys see Madison run around as much as he did out of possession as what he did today, I haven't. I've watched lots of games with Madison and he worked really hard for the team. Closed people down. So we all know the quality he has in possession. And I think that stood out again today. I thought he was, I thought he'd done really well as well. Some of passing, sliding people in, unlocking them. But most importantly, the thing that pleases me was his work rate for the team, because it's the team that's the most important thing. So I have to say that.
It's a special moment for those fans as well. Particularly, I thought the ones in the covered end behind the goal. Yeah, you've gone so long without seeing a win, and all of a sudden they get to see four goals right in front of them. I mean, that must have been brilliant. And the atmosphere was great again today, I felt.
Yeah. It was outstanding. I think the team performed well and the fans performed well. I think as a group, we all performed well together. They recognised, like they always do, when they need a little pick-me-up, the players, and they kept doing that again today. So, yeah, I want to thank them as well. I want to thank them for their support. For their patience today, because they had to be patient at times. Like, we had to keep passing it across the back from side to side. So thank you to everyone that came and kept singing and getting behind the players, because it does make a big difference. And again, you just witnessed that again.
The table's looking quite nice, isn't it, ahead of Tuesday, and as a couple of results went our way above us. So Charlton are only sitting 2 points outside the top two. I mean, it shows how tight I think this top seven or eight, you could say, in League One is going to be this season. There's teams that are going to drop points, and if you can get a little run together again, then you'll find yourselves in the top two soon enough.
I think I said that a little while ago, though. You know, look at the teams that are in this division now. It's a tough league. You've got so many good sides that want to get out of this division. They want to get back to the Championship, and it's not easy. Teams on football's crazy. Like, some of the results you've seen today, you'd think, no way, where's that come from? And we've been guilty of that of times this season. So all we have to do is still, 30 games to go? I don't even know how many, but there's a lot. There's still, like, say, 30 games to go, and we've just got to concentrate on ourselves. Everything else will take care of itself. I have no doubt of that. If we do things the right way, then but the most important thing is we won. Everybody's leaving happy, and we're moving in the right direction again. We're going to have highs and we're going to have lows this season. That's football. That's the craziness of playing Saturday, Tuesday near enough all the time. It's going to be difficult. But we will have to stick together and keep fighting for each other.
Just finally, obviously there was a couple of players missing today. I mean, you mentioned during the week that Akin was struggling with his ankle. Is that what kept him out today? And Albie's self-isolating. So does that mean, are we at the start of his 10 days or whatever it is, or has he been doing that for a few days?
So Akin, yeah. Akin, like, when we get to this 3 week, then we get to train and do things that we can all do, the players, like schedules and unit stuff, and Akin just fell onto his ankle, like he was doing like a crossing drill and clearances. So, and then he cleared the ball, and then he just fell backwards, fell off balance, fell backwards, landed on his ankle, and so that's not looking good. And young Albie, which is horrible for us, because he's been good, isn't he? Like, he came back last weekend. He was very good last weekend again. So, it's things like that happen. You can't control them. Young Albie again, one of his family members. I think it was Wednesday from Wednesday. So one of his family members, and obviously he's only young, he's living at home. So he got self-isolated. They're saying 14 days, but I think there might be a rule change, isn't there? Maybe Monday or something, someone was saying, to 10 days. So it would have been from maybe Tuesday or Wednesday that we was aware of that. Maybe Wednesday, I think.
Just a quick one on Akin, Lee. When you say it's not looking good, what sort of timescale are we talking about?
We're looking around 9 weeks. So, it's, Rich, I see it happen. Like, if you see it, you never think that he's even hurt himself.
Right.
He just cleared the ball. No one near him. Like, it's not like he's defending against a striker or anything. There's no one near him. He's in the 18-yard box on his own, defending the cross, and he's just getting his clearances right, you know, like height, distance. And then he just fell off balance and just landed on. Like, you couldn't make it. Like, it's just unbelievable. Unluck for the lad. Like, it's bad luck for him and for us. So, 9 weeks, they're saying. The good thing is he hasn't got to have an operation, but he's got to be in a boot for 3 weeks and six weeks rehab, they're saying.
Okay.
Which is obviously going to hurt us. Obviously, when we went on that run, we had Akin and Big Ryan as our two centre-halves.
Yeah.
Both of them are out for a long time. So, but it's all right. We've got Piercy. I thought Pratt stepped in and done well today.
So, Lee, a incredible turnaround in the second half. And I noticed a few of those goals, as well as the goal last week, Watson's goal, they came from overloading on the one side of the pitch and then playing a cutback for a player to finish. Is that something specifically that you've worked on?
Yeah. Especially when teams play three at the back. You overload is out wide. He's going to be your fullback, but you have to work it from one side, catch him unaware, quickly come across, fullback overlap, and that's something that we've worked on.
And what I guess do you think, because you said you just had to remain patient, but it seemed that the team's performance went up a notch in the second half. It seemed like things were moving a little bit quicker. Did you notice that, or was it just more of the same from the first half, do you think?
Oh yeah, I think we moved the ball slightly quicker. Again, small details, like this game is small margins, you know, and such a small margin, like say from Ben Amos passing it out to Prattley or to Pierce. If his pass is slow, then they can quickly adjust and get across. So everything from back to front, everything got quicker. Ben's pass to Pratt, Pratt's is to Gunter, and then we come back out, then go the other side. Like, it all makes the big picture work. So, we tied it up on a few of them things as well, I would say. So, yeah. But overall, I think it was a good performance from start to finish.
Yeah, certainly. And then lastly, obviously, Chuck Sinike was excellent off the bench again today. He's got 6 goals. They've all come off the bench. Do you think he's more useful off the bench, or is it just a case of still being concerned about the fitness in terms of him starting?
Yeah, I think Chucks is just one of them people we've got to look after. We've got another game Tuesday. What I do notice is that he does make more of an impact from the bench. That's like, it doesn't take Einstein to recognise that. That's something we have to look at. But he's a very good player. He started the game against Ipswich and was very good on that day as well. So, as long as we can keep him fit, then I don't mind how he's starting, whether he starts or he comes on off the bench. I don't mind. My main focus is to try and keep him fit, because he's definitely effective for us.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. I got a tweet earlier, actually, from Mike. Happy Charlton 98 said the show's going to be bouncing tonight, Lou. And it's true, though. Everyone, I think after a result like yesterday, everyone's in such a good mood. And I'm certainly enjoying the show more so than when we've got tonked or, you know, chucked away a late equaliser at Shrewsbury or something. But yeah, everyone really pleased with yesterday's results, as was Lee Bowyer there. And some really interesting comments from him. I just thought the whole day yesterday, and I'll bring you in now, Tell, was really positive yesterday. And just before we go to tweets and emails, we have to talk about the Valley Pass live service, because a lot of them were talking about that as well. And I mean, what a triumph. You know, obviously the hard work that the media team have put in there has paid off. Scott Minto coming in and presenting, Jason Yule's obviously going to be a good pundit with his history with the club and his knowledge of the game, and obviously the interviews with Sandgaard and Williams, etc., that we're going to hear shortly. So I mean, Terry and Greg did your usual, but you must have been so pleased with how that worked out yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a little bit tense, I won't lie, going up into the build up of the game, because as you mentioned, a lot of people at Charlton behind the scenes are putting a lot of hard work to make this possible. And not excluding the owner who's put their money up, because we have a full production team there now, better camera angles at home, better quality of stream, and just a much more professional approach to the whole thing, and no adverts cutting you off in midstream.
Did somebody say just me? Get delivery like a G. See, hungry dogs got it.
Dream and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, it was a little nervous, because you know, nobody had rehearsed. It was other than getting a script a couple of days before, nobody really had done too much rehearsal on the whole thing. So it was a case of going there and not flying by the seat of our pants. That's probably not fair, but just making sure and hoping that nothing broke down and nothing went wrong, and it didn't. It all went brilliantly, and hopefully that will be the same again Tuesday. But it just shows that the owner Thomas Sandgaard has listened to the club, listened to the people in the club about what needs improving, and I'm sure there's a long list. But the fact that this is one of them, and of course Thomas is on Twitter. And he sees the complaints about the adverts, and he
tacos to the chateau, please.
Sees the complaints in the early in the season with the noise interference and the poor iFollow service that we had at the beginning. So he listened to all that, and he bearing in mind that's for what? How long? About 75% of his time following Charlton. That's the only way he can follow Charlton on the stream and watch us. So he's seen it firsthand when it's not happened right. So it's something he wanted to remedy, and it was nervous, but it was great to be part of, because it did go fantastic well. And but as you said before, I mean, Scott Minto's just the ultimate professional at this, and quite why Scott got rid of him, I've no idea, because he was brilliant with little or no rehearsals. You wouldn't think it by the way he presented it.
Yeah, he certainly was. To be honest, Tell, the only thing I could think of during the entire time you were speaking there is I can't wait to finish recording, get into the edit, and start editing Snoop Dogg over everything you say now. But
yeah.
Did somebody say just me?
Yeah, right, let's have a look at some of the tweets and emails that came in then. Plenty of you wanted to get involved with this evening's show, as you would after a superb victory like yesterday. So I'm scrolling down, and the first one, it was quite funny though, Tom's reaction to, just before we go into those, Tom's reaction to Bo saying there's no one who loves Johnny Williams more than I do, because I think you had something to say about that, didn't you, Tom?
Absolute disgrace. I don't even know what he's thinking. Like, I know he's met me maybe two or three times and he's not on Twitter. So there's no real reason that he should know, but someone should have told him by now. So
show him the tattoo, Tom.
I was going to say, when I do turn up in a onesie next game and hug Johnny Williams in celebration, then he'll have something to say.
You can show him the tattoo or Johnny can show him the restraining order. But let's have a look. Right, so Big Tone messaged us yesterday. Said that I'd probably go as far to say it was our best performance of the season, excluding those 7 minutes of mayhem at the end of the first half. We moved the ball around nicely even before Anike and Williams came on, but those two made a real difference to our attacking intent. A value pass live was brilliant. I can't praise it highly enough. A massive well done to everyone involved. It was also nice to see the crowd make a difference today and seeing a very emotional Thomas Sandgaard after everyone singing his name. The future looks bright going forward. And we'll hear a little bit of that Thomas Sandgaard interview shortly here on Charlton Live. Sarah Saunders says the stream was so good and enjoyable and the win was even better. Well done to everyone on Valley Pass that put it together. It was a brilliant job. Looking forward to Curbs on Tuesday and hopefully another good win. Also, the fans were nice and loud too. Yeah, Curbs is going to be joining as the pundit with Scott Minto on Tuesday. They've really knocked it out of the park with the guest for the first few shows there. Mina wants me to start singing Super Chucks and EK on air, but we'll save that for the next time we're down the valley. Tracy Marsh says a great game, great comms, new Valley Pass format was fantastic, cracking goals and brilliant all-round team performance. I loved it. Tom Bramley, the first half, other than the last 5 minutes, was okay. I've no idea what Bayer said to the team at halftime, but it worked. Madison and Williams looked up for it yesterday. For me, Gilby needs some time on the bench because he's not looked as great since his injury. Yeah, that's probably a fair point, Terry. I think me and Tom had this conversation on Tuesday. I mean, I think it's easy for people to forget that Gilby was probably our best player in the first five or six games. So, you know, let's not write him off just yet. But he hasn't hit that form just yet. There was one or two lovely crossfield passes yesterday. I think one of them, Steve Brown described on Radio London as the best crossfield pass he's seen all season.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think people should understand, not just his injury, of course. He's come back from being injured and he's been asked to play on the left side when he's right-footed. So he's been asked to play something, a role that's a bit alien to him. So that in itself is also going to take a little while for it to settle in. And I think he might also struggle with the absence of Shinny, who does a lot of hard work, and even Albie Morgan. I think it'll come. There's a player in there. We know there is. We've seen it. So people shouldn't necessarily get too down on it. I think he will. He'll come good.
Excellent stuff. Right, Planty on Twitter says, great production on Valley Pass. Everyone involved should be proud. I will continue to purchase Valley Pass because of the change. I was impressed with the performance, minus the five-minute blip before half-time. I thought we looked comfortable and played some entertaining football yesterday up the Addicts. David Poynter said, I had a few issues with the streaming, missed out the second and third goals as I had to log on four times during the game. What I did see was very well done indeed. It feels now that the service is firmly provided for Charlton fans. Looking forward to Tuesday and another 3 points. London Innit Geezer said, looking at the Twitter comments at half time as I finished work, and it was we are useless, embarrassing, get rid of everyone, typical over the top Charlton Twitter. Listen to the second half on Radio London and it was a symphony in my lug holes. Brownie on comms said, apart from 15 minutes we were superb throughout the game. It was an interesting point that London at Geezer's made there, because I was looking at Twitter at half time. I think I said to Rich Cawley at half time, like, seeing some of these tweets, you'd think we'd been dreadful for 45 minutes rather than 10. That just so happened to have happened in the last 10 minutes. So I could see why people were panicking. I certainly said at halftime that I was worried what the reaction would be because of what's gone before. But I'm obviously pleasantly surprised by what happened in that second half. Platy, great all-round performance yesterday. Washington doesn't get the plaudits he deserves. Great runs up front. Jake Forster-Kaski played very well, as did CG. There was good balance in midfield with Watson, Gilby and FC and Chucks, and Johnny Williams were immense again, but can we repeat it against Bristol Rovers? Mike says, what a performance that was from the lads yesterday, absolutely cracking, hope we can follow it up on Tuesday. Will Albie be back in the mix? No, so as we heard there Mike, Albie is self-isolating, so even if it is down to 10 days when the rules change, it sounds like it only happened sort of mid last week, so he won't be ready yet. Hopefully he'll be back in time for the trip to Swindon. Right, not my job, says, I'm getting too creaky to come to the Valley now, so I loved Valley Pass Curb's Journeymen did that too. Don't stop now. That's excellent stuff. Dan says, fantastic performance other than the minute of madness before halftime. I'm guessing Boya's halftime hairdryer gave them the rocket to turn it around. Good to see we can turn results around after conceding, and hopefully Madison kicks on after a great display yesterday. Big Tone just wants to add, lastly, I want to say it was great to see Chris Gunter back in his natural position. He made a massive difference down the right and got into some great positions, and of course set up Johnny Williams. You're another fellow Welshman, Tom, and he was particularly good going forward in that second half, wasn't he?
Yeah, I thought he looked a lot more comfortable out on the as a right back, which is obviously where he's played a lot of his career. And yeah, you're right. I think Benji referenced it in his question to Lee Bowyer when he asked him about overloading on the sides. And Terry mentioned it as well with the fullbacks and then playing their five-man midfield. The tireder they got, there was just more and more space on those wide areas. And we had to be patient in terms of building left to right and waiting for those gaps to appear. But when they did, he got forward two or three times over on that side. And yeah, provides a good attacking threat. We know Adam Matthews can do it as well, so it's nice to have those options to rotate there. But yeah, he certainly looked a lot more comfortable there, and obviously will have enjoyed setting up his Welsh teammate for the third goal as well.
He certainly did. Right, 1905 says, a great performance from all the lads, and in front of Thomas Sandgaard as well. He asked for goals and he got them. Well done to the Valley Pass team. And Greg Stubley, Killers Beard, Scott Minto, and of course Jason Yule, they smashed it. And also well done to the fans. And Warren says, a great second half performance with us creating and taking lots of chances. Particularly pleased to see Johnny come on and score. I fear that London will be in tier three after the Bristol Rovers game. Do you think that no fans again would harm the team? The six wins with no crowd in perhaps suggest otherwise. But yeah, it is such a shame that I'm guessing we will be in tier three. It's not confirmed yet, but that will mean as of next Saturday, new rules will be in place for us, and therefore fans won't be able to come again. I mean, on the plus side, of course, you've got the Valley Pass service that will be used, but it will be such a shame. And you could argue it doesn't make a difference because we have one, but it overall, to everyone who gets to go, it does make a massive difference, and it'll be a real shame. Right, I've spoken a lot about the introduction of the new Valley Pass live service yesterday. To celebrate that, we've stolen some of their audio, basically, but no, we're going to listen to some of the clips they had yesterday. And first up, this was a really special one. Thomas Sandgaard, his first game at the Valley as official owner that had fans in. So great to see him there yesterday. And of course, he was invited to go and speak to Scott Minto before the game and got a rousing reception. Let's hear a little bit of a clip of his chat with Scott Minto.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live at the Valley, and it's my great pleasure to say alongside me is Charlton's owner, Thomas Sandgaard. Thomas, great to see you. Fantastic applause from the fans as you were walking around as well. How did that feel?
Yeah, thanks, Scott. It's amazing to be here with the fans. There's been too many games now without fans, and that is not the same thing. No. Right. So it's exciting. Look forward to today's game.
They really do make the difference, yes. Don't they? Look, we've been asking supporters for their questions, inundated with the amount of questions. We haven't got time. We'll have to put kickoff back 90 minutes, which apparently we're not allowed to do. Okay. So we'll get through what we can anyway, shall we? Start with Pete Essen on Facebook. A nice, easy one, and also very apt as well. He asks, what have you asked Santa for Christmas?
Oh, my God. Promotion. What else can you ask for? I mean, that to get this fantastic team promoted to the championship is where we belong. And this everything we do here at the club is really based on that, making sure. We're going to use the January transfer window to strengthen the team and put us in a good position. We are in a playoff position right now, and I think we have a very high probability of getting there.
Okay, so Christmas presents in the summer, or in May anyway. I'll look forward to that one. Next one, actually, you've just touched on it there. Samuel Cutts from Kent wants to know if you've spoken to the staff about January transfers.
Oh, yeah, we have. We're already deep into to finding players and negotiating. And a few of them we might even have put in place already. So I'm very excited about that.
Great. But just on that one about, well, what's been unique about taking over a football
unique.
Club like Chelsea?
I would say number one, which I got to know about already before I took over, which is the fan base. And it's probably an even bigger, we call it phenomenon when it comes to Charlton. The fan base, it's not only huge, but the amount of passion and dedication in this fan base It's so amazing. And obviously, I think I was positively surprised about how well everything is running here. The infrastructure, as well as what we have in place with the on the football side. It was actually when we put in that huge effort with it. Okay. Wow. Unbelievable. Thank you! Yeah.
How does that feel? How does that make you feel?
Wow. Wow. Thank you! Yeah, I don't know if I should cry or what. This is unbelievable. That's what I was just talking about.
I can see you having to compose yourself a little bit. It's an emotional moment, though, isn't it? Because this club has been through a lot in recent years.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, sorry.
No, not at all.
There we go, Thomas Sandgaard and Scott Minto. And you can hear Terry, how like he started welling up. He had tears in his eyes, didn't he, Thomas? Considering so far he hasn't been able to interact with the fans that much, obviously in terms of in person, he's done Zoom calls and chatted with all the right people. This weekend must have been extremely special for him to get to go to a game like he saw yesterday and have the reception from the fans. He's gone and met the Upbeats today and gone and seen the women's team play. Now he's really getting a real feel for what this club is all about.
Yeah, no question. He's fully in now. He's fully immersed in what being Charlton is. And the Upbeats thing today, I saw the video clips on social media, and it's fantastic to see. I said it on comms yesterday, just as we went live, that if that's his reaction when 2,000 fans welcome him home, can you imagine? He'll have meltdown when there's 20,000 in there. He won't be able to walk, will he? Because that 2,000 is just a mere snippet of what Charlton fans will reception they'll give him when there's a full house down there and they can say thank you properly, because that's what it's all about. It's saying thank you to someone who's pretty much saved our bacon.
Yeah, he's I'm trying to think of the nice way of putting this, but he's absolutely mental as well, isn't he? Which is good.
That's fantastic, guitar, isn't it?
Yeah, the guitar playing on the trust thing the other day, the video of him all kitted up and playing football. I mean, if he was doing all that and not delivering what he's delivered so far, then you'd be like, oh, just another PR showman. But because he's doing that and actually, you know, investing in the squad, investing in the Valley Pass, investing in everything else, you like go for it. It's great. You're loving it, and so are we.
Put it this way: you can imagine the reaction if either me, you, or Tom did a 20-minute video of us in a full Charlton kit kicking a ball into an empty net. You can just imagine the reaction we get for that.
Especially when more often than not we'd probably miss a target anyway. So yeah, no, it really was a breath of fresh air to see Thomas there. And like I say, I quite like something. I didn't hear it in the clip because he did speak to Scott for ages. But one of the things he said yesterday, and I do think is important, is he said he's sort of in negotiation or something with how he's going to help the women's team, because they certainly need funding. Beaten again today, but they're really feeling the pinch of being the club with the smallest budget in the Championship by miles. So I really hope that Thomas will come through with that, because it's a massive part of the Charlton family, and so far he's done excellent work for all of us, really, and long may it continue. Tom, was that the first time you saw Mr. Sang? I know you may have seen him at the Swindon game, but I mean you must have enjoyed the reaction he got yesterday.
Yeah, I was at the trial game, so I saw it then. So I had an opportunity, but as you say, he wasn't. I don't think he was officially owner at that point. He might have been. He certainly wasn't when I saw him at Swindon. But
yeah, no, he was. He wasn't at Doncaster either.
Okay.
Just after.
Yeah. So yeah, and obviously then he just sort of came up into the box, and that was that. Whereas yesterday he was kind of around the pitch and naturally had to walk around the pitch to get to the Valley Pass interview and there was, as you mentioned, that video on the screen, which was mental. But as you say, all good stuff. And I signed on to the Trust Q&A on Thursday after we'd done our podcast, and it was absolutely brilliant. You know, they had him for an hour and a half, but it got to 9 o'clock, and he said there were loads of questions left, so he stayed on and answered more. And there's Amy, my other half, obviously isn't that interested in football, but follows it, well, has no choice because I'm here. And she said he just comes across as such a decent bloke, and we've had our fingers burnt so many times, and it's just nice to have someone who's just genuinely interested. And as you say, going to the women's game today and meeting the upbeats and doing all these other bits, we said when Duchatelet was paying us no attention, how can you not? When you're here and you see it all and you get involved and it gets in your blood and it gets in your veins, it's very hard to not be interested. And Duchatelet never gave us that time, but Sangard already is giving that time and dedicating it and getting himself involved. And as you say, he's saying all the right things. He's doing all the right things. We've always said about any of the owners that you don't just want to hear it, you want to see them do it. And he's doing that. And it's really impressive. And obviously, again, it's a longer term thing than just this, because I'm sure it's all very new and exciting for him as well. And he obviously has a financial interest in us succeeding. But at the moment, it's just everything around the club is very, very positive. And we just have to enjoy it for the moment and see where this season takes us. Because when we first got relegated, I think we were more worried about one, existing, and two, surviving in League One. Now we're in a position where I think we really can push for promotion, but I think getting promoted this season would probably be certainly above our initial season expectations. So, yeah, we've just got to enjoy it, really. And days like yesterday certainly make that easier to do.
Certainly do. Well, let's have a look at some of the messages that came in via DMs and emails yesterday. Phil sent us a message. Hi, guys. Have to say I didn't see that one coming at halftime. Once again, Chucks and Johnny make a real difference coming off the bench. The only negative for me is, once again, Bogle just isn't good enough. Can't see what he brings to the side. Hopefully, January, we can find a replacement. Finally, the Valley pass coverage was so professional. Has to be one of the best things to come out of the club in a long while. Well done to everyone. That's from Phil. Yeah, interesting stuff about January. We heard a little bit there from Thomas during his clip talking about the January transfer window. Obviously, that the cap makes things so much more difficult, but if there's willing and dealing to be done, then hopefully we can use it to improve the side. Right, McSquared. Hi, guys. What a superb win that was. Just a tonic that everyone needed. I don't know how much the week's break had to do with it, but we seem to have far more energy and attacking flair from the off today and fully deserved the win. We were by far the better team overall. Yeah, I mean, me and Tom spoke about that having the break of a week. It's not called a break in normal times, is it? But, you know, it does feel like a break not having a midweek game. And that did seem to make a difference. McSquared said the sloppy goal for Wimbledon's second goal aside, it was a great all-round performance, although it'd be unfair to scapegoat him. The one disappointment performance for me came from Bogle, who had another poor game. I wasn't surprised to see him off early in the second half. The officiating was much better. The new Valley pass video coverage is fantastic. Scott Minto did an excellent job. It says, particularly impressed with Thomas Sangard's interview. At last, we have an owner who truly cares about the club and wants to actually be closely involved to take things forward. Let's keep the momentum going, starting with Tuesday. Pickett's goal was top quality. Even though we don't want to see him scoring against us, it's good to see he's managed to turn his career around after moving on. In many ways, he was another victim of the turmoil that engulfed this club. Yeah, it'd be very interesting to see if... I mean, I wonder if he's the type of player we'd be interested in January. I don't think we'd be able to squeeze him in with our wage cap from what I understand. But a player like him would be good if he can keep up that form. Right, Robert Chilvers says that really enjoyed my afternoon yesterday. An owner who seems to care passionately. Excellent Valley pass live. Much improved performance. And Bo's top of everyone's Christmas card list again. Well done. Says well after Johnny. Some very good individual performances. And whilst Madison was probably not man of the match, some of his passing was exquisite. Obvious question is, can he do it consistently? And that's up to Bo's, isn't it, to get that out. In fact, that's what Robert says. If Bo's can get a consistent level of performance like yesterday from the team, we won't be far away from taking the next step of Thomas's plan. I guess Hull would have accepted a scrappy draw yesterday against Shrewsbury. Yeah, they do have a new manager bounce, as do Bristol Rovers. Almost certainly there will be changes to the team. A tough test awaits on Tuesday. It may not go according to plan. Level heads, please. Yeah, that's good stuff from Robert. Simon says, loving the show. A slight comic moment to discuss. Check the fifth goal. Johnny Williams wheels away to celebrate just as his dink comes back off the post for Purrington to finish. Yeah, there was one of the snappers, it might have been Paul Edwards, got a really funny picture of Williams looking almost disappointed that it wasn't his goal, the fifth one. Also, actually, Terry, we have to speak about the other special guest at the Valley yesterday, comedian Tom Allen, one of my favourite comedians around at the moment, but I did not expect to see him yesterday. And I don't, if you've seen the clips of him, especially celebrating Johnny Williams's goal, he certainly seemed to enjoy his day out of the Valley.
Yeah, I think we've got a new fan, haven't we? It's funny because I saw the Sky reporter, I can't remember his name, is it?
Mark McAdam.
Yeah, I saw him as I pulled up going in. So I thought, well, that's a bit strange to, you know, for him to be here for a League One game when there's a full programme on, but it's good. So I didn't see Tom Allen at all. So otherwise I'd have cottoned on with the Rainbow Laces thing. But it's, his reaction to the goals were great, weren't they? And it's almost like it's one of those reactions where it doesn't look like he's really into football, but he's enjoying it anyway. But we might have a new fan. He might be a regular.
Yeah,
I've got to admit, though, where he's from, I was expecting him to support somebody else.
He's only from Bromley, I think, Chislehurst area.
You're just expecting him to be Palace like everybody else in that area.
Well, how dare you? How dare you? Even though I've moved out of those ends, it's a highly Cheltenham supporting area. But yeah, delighted to see Tom Allen enjoying his day yesterday at the Valley. Right, Steve Richards sent in an email as well. He says, great day for the club yesterday. Everything was great. The new Valley pass live. Scott Minto, Terry and Greg, Jason Yule, Thomas Sandgaard, Lee Bowyer. The second half comeback. Our super subs and last, but certainly not least, the fans. And Hull and Lincoln both lost, which is a massive boost for Charlton fans. After all the worry of and disappointment of recent years, the Addicts are on the march. And then he says, brackets, Charlton Live podcast isn't too bad either. Yeah, I felt like, Tom, that we had a lot of catching up to do after everyone's done so well this weekend. Put a lot of pressure on us, really. But, that just says it all, really, doesn't it? Everyone's in such a good mood. Everyone would probably be quite happy to have a bit more Charlton on their weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if they're expecting us to start doing videos and all sorts with us as well. But I think what you said there about everyone just being happy. I remember, obviously, we're not doing it in the studio now, but there were days where you'd lose 1-0 in some horrible midweek game and you had to come in and do a Thursday or a Sunday show. And it was the atmosphere, even just in the studio. It was like, right, we've got to try and do a podcast and talk about this game. Whereas on a night like tonight, you look forward to coming on and talking about a win. And as you say, everyone's emailing in and the atmosphere, it's amazing how it can turn around in just a week. I think three times I've referenced last weekend and called it a defeat. And obviously we got a point at Shrewsbury, but it just didn't feel like that last week. So, yeah, it's so nice to come on and talk about it like this. And we've got our little microphones, haven't we? We've made little technical improvements since we've been working from home, considering we were doing WhatsApp calls at the start of lockdown. But, not videos just yet, but give it time.
We need Thomas Sandgaard to come and fund Charlton Live. That's what we'll do.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll be bowling around in Range Rovers next. Right, Craig Redman says, great display second half. Watson and Gunter were superb. Bo's got the sub spot on. Hope we can push on now and solidify a top six. Fort Madison had his best game in a Charlton shirt. Please for joining as well. Come on, you Reds. That's from Craig. Good stuff, Craig. Dave says, hi, Louis. A couple of observations from my first game back at the Valley this season. Welcome back, Dave. I hope you enjoyed it. Firstly, the stewarding was excellent, polite but disciplined, easy to see how we could safely get more in when restrictions ease a bit more. An ironic thought that we're teetering on the edge of a tier three. Only surprised that there was none of the promised ID checks. A fan from the wasteland that is Kent could easily have turned up with a ticket originally redeemed by one of us healthy but irresponsible Essex boys. The absence of checks clearly meant that the entry process was quicker, but I wonder if in these horrible times anyone would really have objected to a slightly slower entrance in order to ensure another layer of safety. The only real downside was that I was relocated from my normal perch at level with the edge of the covered end penalty area to the equivalent spot by the away end. Apart from the fact that six of the seven goals were at the wrong end for me, a sacrifice I'm prepared to make all season long if it brings us similar results, it meant we were sat right by the Don's bench. Now, I've always had a bit of a soft spot for Glenn Hodges, a feeling that was only enhanced by your Wimbledon contributor on Thursday's show. Yeah, that was Chris from the 9 News Pod. As a player, he always seemed to be a touch more sophisticated than his somewhat rustic teammates. So a surprising disappointment to witness the fact that he is, in fact, a bit of a prat, constantly abusing the linesman frequently for things that were quite clearly nothing to do with him, and the language. I love a bit of an F and Jeff, like any real man, but dear, oh dear, Glenn is a man of very limited vocabulary. Well, certainly if you heard his post-match interview, he was a bit frustrated yesterday when he spoke to, I think he got a question about Don's throwing away a lead, which they've done quite a few times this season. So yeah, clear. I mean, probably feeling the pressure, but he shouldn't be really, because Wimbledon having quite a good season so far. And he says, then of course there was a football match. It was great fun. It was too, apart from the crazy 2 minutes where there appeared to be a collective decision that marking opponents is so yesterday's things. I thought there weren't a bad performance to be cited. Lovely narrative that Johnny Esther was awarded man in the match, although the clear recipient should have been Chris Gunter. Best we've seen from Madison by a long way, and Chucks is so good as well. Excellent stuff. That's from Dave. He's pleased to say he's back on Tuesday. That's good. He's clearly a lucky omen as well. Thanks for your email. Dave Simon says, quite simply, if Boya can decide on a settled starting 11, bar the odd injury, this will obviously help. Gutted not being able to go to the games as I'm Kent-based, but the new Valley Pass was a super alternative up the Reds. Cheers, Simon. And yeah, I do reckon that if we had a fitter squad in terms of, you know, they'd all had pre-seasons, they weren't always injury-prone as a lot of them are, then I'm sure we'd play a settled 11 more often than that. But obviously we can't. And finally, Jonathan West sent a message saying hello as well. Hope, Jonathan, that you enjoyed today. I assume you would have been down there meeting Thomas Sandgaard as well when you met the rest of the upbeats today. So you're very lucky, Jonathan. I hope you enjoyed meeting the big man. Right, let's have another listen to some of the audio from Valley Pass yesterday. How about from one of your match winners? Johnny Williams went to speak to Scott Minto at full time.
Not bad, eh? The first ever Valley Pass Live. Come back from 2-1 down to win by 5-2. And delighted to say Johnny Williams has joined me here. Johnny, they say a week is a long time in politics. The same in football as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You effectively got the winner.
Yeah, no, I'm delighted. I always give my all in the shirt, and finally got my home goal in front of the home fans. It's a shame they all couldn't be there, but yeah, I'm delighted. A great win.
They're in spirit and they're watching right now as well. What did Lee say to you when you were going on, and what did you say to yourself as you came on?
Every time I come on, he wants me to impact a game, and today I did that and got on the score sheet, and I was involved in the other two goals, so I'm delighted. I couldn't have done much more today, and just delighted to impact the team and help the team win.
Football, you need character as well as talent. You've certainly shown that. But the double substitution made a difference, isn't it? What do you feel you and Chucks were able to do that didn't quite happen before then?
I just think Chucks is such a presence, but when he's believing in himself and he brings the other side to the game, and he's a top footballer, and he's got the presence, and if he can stay fit, he'll go far in the game, and he's a pleasure to play alongside, because I know I'm going to get the ball when it goes up to him. It sticks, so yeah.
And just finally, how important was it after one win in five to get back to winning ways today?
Yeah, massive. You're looking around at our team, our bench, our squad is strong for this league, and we should be looking to win every single game. So the gaffer will want us to go on a run now, and I'm sure we'll give our all to do that.
Johnny, congratulations. Well done for coming on. You really did make the difference. Go and get a nice bath.
Cheers, Scott.
Good to see
always
you.
Always good to hear from Baldy Locks on the Charlton Live podcast. And again, you know, we've used a lot of stuff because I think we really need to showcase how good that Valley Pass live service was yesterday. And, you know, if heaven forbid we do go into tier three, or if you are in a situation where you can't come to games, I really think that's got to be the best £10 you're going to spend any week, especially if we follow up the excellent sort of production with performances like that. Right, Terry, very briefly, because we've gone well over time this week, but you can't blame us really. Looking ahead, Bristol Rovers coming up Tuesday. I mean, momentum is important. So it's up to us to ensure that we take that momentum from today or from yesterday and into Tuesday's game.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you wouldn't expect them to be as easy as Wimbledon was yesterday, especially they've just come off a 3-0 win, wasn't it, over Plymouth, I think, on the weekend. So their tails are going to be up as well. So, you know, we've got to expect that not every game is going to go like Saturday. Would that it were, it'd be an easy division, wouldn't it? So it's tough because we still won't have Akinfenwa and we still won't have Albie Morgan. But if they put in the same performance... And We started showing commitment. It'd be very interesting to see what the team lineup's going to be and whether Boya goes with the starting the similar 11 that started Saturday and then using Johnny Williams and Chucks off the bench as he did to such great effect on Saturday. It'd be interesting to see if he does that again. But, you know, and if he does, and if we have to be patient again, then so be it. As long as we... I don't care if it's 5-2. 1-0 will do me fine.
Yeah, well, but Paul Tisdale, hasn't he? He's gone in at Bristol Rovers. They've had a couple of good results. And yes, you mentioned that 3-0 home win over Plymouth yesterday. They beat Wimbledon away the weekend before, 4-2 as well. And started quite well. And he's a good manager, isn't he, Paul Tisdale? But what's your views, Tom? Do you think Johnny to start? Or do you think the impact that he did make off the bench, along with Chooks, as Terry mentioned, is sometimes you have players who do make a better impact from the bench. Which way do you reckon Bo will decide to go with that one?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he changes too much from yesterday, because the starting 11 didn't do a whole lot wrong. I know Bogle's come in for criticism from a lot of the listeners and generally yesterday around the ground. But as I say, I think he does a lot for the team. Chucks has already shown the impact he makes off the bench. So I wouldn't expect a lot of changes. The only person really I was disappointed with yesterday was Alex Gilby. And we've already said, you know, he's coming back from an injury. And so, yeah, I don't expect a huge amount. I think one thing I was pleased with yesterday was, I mentioned it on Thursday, that one thing I'd like to see Boya do is try and get Madison and Williams into the same team. And for, a good 40 minutes of that second half, I think, or maybe half an hour, they did play together. So if there is an opportunity to get them both in from the start, that would be interesting, because I certainly wouldn't drop Madison. But I wonder if Williams does come in, maybe that would be for Gilby and give Gilby a bit of a break. Or whether Deji comes into the back four and you can push Prattley forward and give Ben Watson a break, because he's another one who I said perhaps deserves a little bit of a rest. So maybe one or two changes, but largely it'll be the same, I think.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's call time now on this week's Charlton Live, because I have, as I said, we have gone well over time. Thanks to those of you who have listened all the way to the end. We'll be back on Thursday to look back at that game against Bristol Rovers and, of course, to preview the clash with Swindon. Thank you to Tom and Terry for joining me on this week's pod.
Cheers, Louis. Tom.
Good to have you both with me. So thanks for listening. I've been Louis Mendes, and we shall see you again on Thursday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.